So let's pray. God, you are the God who gives flesh to dry bones. So may your breath be noticeable to us today. May your love hold us and guide us so that we can receive your hope to then be your hope in a world that feels so abandoned at times. Amen. So, yet again, for those that have been following along, we've been doing the narrative lectionary at Arnolia, which starts the Sunday after Labor Day with the beginning, and then we keep going through the biblical story until we get to Christmas when we start a gospel. So next week, we'll actually start the Gospel of John. Look out for a blog post this week of me saying, here's some fun, shorter books about the Gospel of John, because we'll be with John until Pentecost. Or at least until Easter, and then a little bit into Pentecost, and so we've got a lot of John ahead of us. And actually, no, it's not next Sunday. We're in Isaiah, so we have 2 weeks before we get to John. I know how calendars work. So we've spent a lot of time in this year in exile. With the northern kingdom of Israel and then the southern kingdom of Judah. And so this week we find ourselves yet again in the midst of the Babylonian exile. And Ezekiel was one of the first to be taken out of the land. Jerusalem and the temple are destroyed, and thousands of lives were taken through siege warfare, leaving the readers to envision literal places where bones are scattered from war. The survivors of this were either forced into captivity and forced labor, or just being the brunt of their society's economical system for the benefit of the Babylonian Empire, or deemed worthy enough to be taken over to Babylon so that they could take advantage of their knowledge or skills in the heart of empire. And it is precisely in this desolation that Ezekiel was led by spirit, by breath, to a mass grave full of bones. God guides Ezekiel in his vision directly back to the scene of their trauma, with the intention of breathing new life. It's not lost on me that this is one of the most detailed and descriptive texts in all of the Bible. So the author is inviting us to fully immerse ourselves into the depravity of the situation and the complex restoration of the people. While they had experienced rock bottom, God had not forgotten. God remembers God's people and how they were killed in this place, and God then remembers them. God stitches them back together because God remembered how they came apart, which is no easy task when you think of bones lying in a desert for decades. Knowing which one goes back where is a hard job that requires a lot of familiarity with each individual bone. Damon Garcia from In Flesh describes it as this. Like in the creation story, God makes order out of chaos when God puts these bodies back together. And once again, creation is given new life through the breath of God. Except this time, the breath of life doesn't come out only of God's mouth. The breath is already present all around Ezekiel. Ezekiel summons the breath of life through the winds from each direction. The breath of God, the breath of the earth, and the breath of humans all collaborate to create life. You might even hear echoes of what the author of the Gospel of John is doing in the first chapter. For those that are familiar with the text, we've got in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and was God, and we'll get there in 2 weeks. But you can hear why those that have put together the texts in this order are taking us to that beginning, that are taking us to saying that Jesus is the continuation of this same work that we see God doing in this valley of dry bones. Now, most of us can't really relate to a valley of dry bones, but maybe we have things that we see as dry bones, areas of our life or aspects of our relationships or friendships, careers or dreams that just seem unfathomable. That the life that we thought we could have no longer exists in front of us because of circumstances. Or maybe we get weighed down by the heaviness of the news as we see wars that are constantly waged. Even with a ceasefire in Gaza, there's still bombings daily. Or the constant war in Ukraine and Sudan and across the globe. Or maybe some aspects of our nation and our inability to talk to each other and have civil conversations about politics anymore. Or maybe some of us might be clinging onto the years past here at Arnolia. Frequently, I get to hear stories about the times when we had to bring extra chairs into the sanctuary. And sometimes I wonder, are we holding on to those stories like valleys of dry bones? Thinking that those are times in our past that we could never see again. So when God asks, can these bones live again? It's no wonder that Ezekiel is like, only you know, God. Like, I hear that with a bit of sass. Like, why are you even asking me about dead things? Because dead things stay dead. Dead relationships stay separated. Dead ways of relating to people are no longer a way of interacting. This had to be hard for people to believe. The pain and the heartache and the trauma that we've experienced are things that make it so that our imagination can no longer work in the same way it used to. But you might notice that certainty is not required in the work of God. Human one, can these bones live again? And Ezekiel says, Lord God, only you know. We don't know the timing, but God is with us, remembering everything to help us remember things, to put the things back together to the ways that we thought were no longer anywhere close to within reach. Some of you might remember we did the book This Here Flesh by Cole Arthur Riley. In her book Black Liturgy, she says, if your hope is waning, find those who can sustain it. And when the time comes, you will carry someone else's hope for them. No individual can resist despair on their own. We steady each other. We can't afford despair. I love how in verse 11, God identifies the despair of the people. They've gotten their breath back. They're no longer dead bones, and they still hold on to the despair of their whole nation. Could they ever be put back together relationally? And God hears their laments and doesn't judge them. This is the perfect opportunity where if the author wanted to have some sort of holy judgment, it could be, I did all of this, and yet you still don't believe that we can do so much more. And so from here, we see that out of the despair, God has always said, prophesy to the bones first. And sometimes I wonder if Ezekiel's prophesying to bones first because it's easier to speak to something that can't hear you, to confidently assert something without someone being able to look at you in a way that made you lose that confidence really quick, and to practice the act of keeping hope when it feels like hope can no longer be held on to. But God invites us into the resurrection of all things, using someone else to speak this into being, because we notice that God could have, this is a vision, God could have just done this work, but God is requiring Ezekiel to bring this hope back to the people because of the vision that he receives. So we can see this as an invitation into God's work of resurrection. The partner with all aspects of creation as the breath comes from all four directions to work together instead of against one another in the entirety of the world. And then to wrap up, Damon Garcia did it very beautifully, so why would I try to do it differently? If I paraphrased, it wouldn't be as great. So he guides us to discover this radical hope within ourselves. He says to do so, you can start with your breath. So let's breathe in and breathe out. Remember that you breathe the breath of life. And the breath of life within flows with the breath of God and the breath of all creation. All of it belongs to one breath that connects us all. This breath was here before us and will be here after us. So that means the breath you breathe will be here to witness all of the liberation you dream of. The breath you breathe right now will be present when justice is finally achieved. And I'll add that the breath you breathe right now will be present when whatever that relationship that feels so out of reach is restored. And so let us pray. God, you are the God of our breath, the God who remembers how the broken aspects of our life can be put back together and works with us in the remembering of all things. May your Spirit guide us in the work of your ongoing revelation of your kingdom so that we can be your people who gather together and go into the world to love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously. Amen.